Morning. Today's daf is daf Pei Dalet in Shabbos. We're on page 84. We're starting the Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, and that is correct. Boats and ships. Today's topic is one singular topic of discussion. It'll veer a little bit off into other realms of Tumah Tahara, but we talk today about the Tumah, the susceptibility of Tumah of a boat or of a ship. And then tomorrow's daf, we talk about Kalayim. I told you, that's how the ninth paragraph is going to work. And then, what's today? Today is Wednesday already. Okay, that would mean that Friday's daf is going to be Palata Shechva Zera. Okay, good. And and let's begin. So the Mishnah starts off, Minayin L'Sfinah Shehi Tahara. So how do I know that a boat is Tahara? Now, Tahara does not mean that it is Tahara. It means that it's not susceptible to Tumah. In other words, it simply cannot become Tameh. Any Ava Tameh that comes into contact with a boat will not make the boat Tameh. The boat will remain Tahor. Does it matter what the boat is made out of? The answer may be yes, but we'll hold off on that for a moment. Minayin L'Sfinah Shehi Tahor. So how now I know a boat is not Mekabel Tumah Shenemar Derech Aniyah Belev Yam. So we quote a pasuk from Mishlei. So quoting a pasuk from Mishlei basically tells us that this is probably Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Perhaps, but we have a pasuk to rest our halacha on pasuk of Mishnah. All right, now what do we generate from this pasuk? So the Gemara starts off right away. Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't it obvious? Aniyah b'lev yamhi ha kamash malankiyah. In other words, when the pasuk in Mishlei says that the boat's in the ocean, meaning where else is the boat going to be? Of course, the boat is in the ocean. So the Gemara says it's obviously coming to teach us a halachic point. So, my yam tahor, asrina tahor. Now, a yam, an ocean, is certainly not susceptible to tumah. In fact, just the opposite. The yam is what creates tahara. But certainly to the point of our discussion, it's not mekabel tumah. Ocean cannot become mekabel tumah, and neither can a boat. It's also not mekabel tumah. Okay, so that is what's called that lima number one. Lima number one tells us that a boat's not mekabel tumah. As we have a pasuk in Mishlei that speaks to the idea, and what we learn from the pasuk in Mishlei is that it's just simply impervious to tumah. Then the Gemara quotes the Braisa Tanya Chananya Omer Nilmud Namisak. The Chananya has a different limud, and he says, "No, we're going to learn it from a sack, from a bag, okay, a sack. Right, let's just use a simple English word. Masak mitalta male vereka, nafkom mitalta male vereka. Now." One of the characteristics of a sack is that you carry the sack, whether it's laden or whether it's empty. Doesn't matter. It could be full with stuff, it could be empty of stuff, and you're still going to carry it. And that becomes one of the defining characteristics of something which is going to be mekabel tumah lafuki sfina de'inu mitata malavirekan. And that's not true with a boat. Now, a boat, when it's empty, boat's good. Meaning a boat, an empty boat is what we want. Now, empty doesn't mean like totally empty, but empty just simply means is that now it has a cavity inside of it, and it's going to float in the water, and it'll be transported. But if I take a boat and I fill it, all the way to the top, it's not going to be that good a boat. In fact, it won't go. So, in other words, according to Chananya, his limud is based on the fact that the boat does not operate characteristically like a sack. A sack is only mekabel tumah when it's male vereka, when it's full and when it's empty. And so, therefore, only something like that will be mekabel tumah. A boat is not like that. A boat can only be transported when it's empty, not when it's full, and so therefore it's boats not mekabel tumah. So says Chananya. So now we have two limudim. Our first limud is from our Mishnah, which compares a boat to an ocean, and the second limud is from Chananya, in that a boat is not characteristically like a sack. My bay, now the Gemara.
Can you say it's mekabel
tumah, the boat? I don't know.
Because water.
Yeah, I hear you. But the water, halachically, water is usually just ignored.
Yeah, but the water is looking at the kata also. So that might be
true, but I don't know. The Gemara doesn't bring that up. So my benai we can benai is feel shacharis. The Gemara says there's going to be a nafka mina based on these two explanations. So manda amarniya b'lev yam, hanami b'lev yam. Now, according to our first drasha, which is based on the pasuk in Mishlei, so the material of the boat should really not matter. Because as long as it's a boat going in water, so therefore it's not mekabel tumah, it's tahor, it's eino mekabel tumah. So here, Would the material of the boat matter? No, not according to the first drasha. So, but delamanda amakisak. But according to our second drasha of Chananya, so hanach diksiv gabisak. Hamatata malavrekan in ilolo. Avasvina shachar safagav dina matatels malavrekan. This criteria, this prerequisite of having to be transported both when it's full and when it's empty, that only applies to sack and sack-like material, meaning wood, mats, beams, right? Anything like that. But if it is made out of kli cheretz, if it's earthenware will be mekabel tuma, even though it doesn't have this characteristic of mitalta male verekon. And so therefore kli cheretz will be mekabel tuma, even if it's not metalta malavirekan. And so according to Chananya, if you take your boat and you make it out of earthenware, I don't know how sound that is, I don't know how safe that is, but I'm not going to speak to that. I will simply say that's going to be mekabel tuma. Inami, the Gemara gives a second nafkamina, Svina Sayardin. Second nafkamina would be, what if the boat is going down the Jordan River? So again, you go to the Pasuk and Mishlei. So the Pasuk and Mishlei doesn't give any distinction whatsoever. It just simply says, the boat goes on water, the boat's not mekabel tuma. So what difference does it make? What body of water we're talking about? Could be an ocean, it could be a river. I guess you could make distinctions between oceans and rivers, but the Gemara just assumes Aniya Belev Yam is a general, it goes on any body of water, therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma. But Lamanda Ami Metatalas Malavirekan, Hanami Metatalas Malavirekan. But going down the Jordan River, so there, even if the boat is full, they're still going to push the boat down the Jordan River. Because, says Chananya ben Akavya, that what happens when a boat is drawn down the Jordan River is that first they load it on the dry land, and then they push it into the Jordan River, so you see that it is moved, whether it is empty or whether it's full. Since that's the normal process, don't ask me, I don't really fully understand this, but why this is so, but since that's...
It's a small boat,
maybe?
Yeah.
So the, right, just, okay. Anyway, they loading took place on the dock, right, but not literally on the dock, meaning on the pier. And then it was put into the water. So because it is mitalta malavirekan, so therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma. So that'll be your second nafkamina. So basically the Gemara now presents to us, right, this is classic lumdus, classic learning. So there are two reasons why a boat is not mekabel tuma, either based on the Pasuk and Mishlei, which is our Mishnah, or according to Chananya, because it's not metalta mala v'reikan. And basically, the Gemara has now provided us two nafkaminas. One is going to be the material that it's made out of. If it's made out of kli cheres, our mission would say it's tahor, Chananya would say it's tameh. Two, our second nafkamina, is that if it's going down the Yardane, where it is metalta mala v'reikan, so according to our mission, it's still going to be tahor. And according to Chananya, it's going to be mekabel tuma. Good. A person should be constantly in the Beis HaMedrash. Try to your best of your ability not to take a break from the Beis Medrash. Sharei kamashanim nishas mishnah zu beis medrash v'lo nitgala taima. We learned this mishnah for many years, and we never understood why. Meaning, okay, pasuk and mishlei, but why? Why is a boat not mekabel tuma? Ashiba Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya ufir shah. And along comes Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, and he gives the explanation of it's not metalta mala v'reikan. So it's interesting because the way the Gemara originally presents it is that Chananya is arguing with our Mishnah. And the Gemara brought nafkaminas between Chananya and our Mishnah. And now the Gemara over here is saying that Chananya is explaining our Mishnah. So a little bit unclear in terms of how to put Chananya with our Mishnah. Is it complementary to our Mishnah? Or is it a differing opinion? Okay, I'm a little bit confused by that, but in the meantime, Amar Rav Yonah Salola Ma Yimna Adam Esatzma Mibeis HaMedrash Umidivrei Torah Vafilu Bishas Misa. Another point we can make is that a person shouldn't stop learning. Vafilu Bishas Misa, even up to the point of Misa, he should be learning. Shenem Rezosa a Torah Adam Ki Yamus Ba'ohel. Obviously, we're taking the pasuk a little bit out of context, but okay, Bederech Drush. The Gemara is explaining that the when the pasuk says ki yamus ba'ohel, it means ad yom hamisa yuzos hatorah, you should be learning in Torah. Afil b'shas misa teosik b'torah. Amar Ish Lakish ein devei Torah miskaimim el b'mishem meimis asmo alaha. Gemara, as long as we're darshaning, the Gemara gives another divrei drush and musar, and the Gemara says that a person should. Torah is only going to be by somebody, only if he kills himself over the Torah. Shenemar zos haTorah adam kiyamos ba'ohel. Again, taking the pasuk out of context, but the way that you learn Torah is that you kill yourself over the Torah. It means no sipping on a martini while learning Torah. That's, in other words, struggle of learning Torah. Yeah.
It carries you.
Yeah, correct. It's right. Right. Yeah, okay. I mean, also, just maybe just propelling it would be considered a form of carrying. But you're right. It's okay. Amarava lechananya tilto ide shvarim shmeish tilto. Now, it comes out according to Chananya. Look, how are these boats going to get moved? Meaning, the. When we talked about the moving of the boat of the Yarden, in other words, we loaded it on shore and then we moved it from offshore to from the shore into the Jordan River. So how's that boat going to get moved? So you go to any loading dock and you're going to see basically it's hydraulics. Okay, so hydraulics in the good old days was basically animal power. So basically now, look, we go to the sack, right? Here I have for you a perfect example of a sack. Okay, my tefillin bag. Holding my talis as well, says metalta malav erekan, meaning I'll carry it whether it's full or whether it's empty. And now we take that same property and we move it to a boat. It's metalta malav erekan. How so? Because what we filled it up on the dock, and then we move it over into the Jordan River. Okay, how are we moving it over to the Jordan River? So the only way it's going to get moved is if it's pulled by a lot of animal power. Oxen. So the Gemara says that's really considered metaltel, meaning think about it. I'm going to pick this up, I'm going to transport this. We're not going to do that with the boat. In fact, no one can pick it up and transport it. The only way it's transportable is only by dragging it with oxen. So you mean to tell me that's considered metaltel? And the Gemara's answer is going to be, yeah, that's correct. So the Gemara says, now, whether the word in belongs there or doesn't belong there, but certainly the sentiment is, yeah, that's going to be. And what we're going to do to arrive at this conclusion is we're going to learn two Mishnayos in Masechta Kehilim. Okay, the first Mishnah we're going to learn in Masechta Kehilim is going to go as follows. Shalosha Galos saying there are three wagons. Okay, in other words, basically what this Mishnah Kehilim is going to teach us is that certain wagons, based on its shape and its function, are going to be Makabal Tumah. They're going to talk about three different types of wagons. So if the wagon is made like a katidra, an armchair wagon, meaning this first type of wagon that we're describing over here is used for the transportation of people. Okay?
Yeah.
You sit in it. That's very good. So it's almost like a chair and you sit in it. So now this wagon in question is going to be susceptible to Tumah, but not just any type of Tumah, but rather Tumas Medras. We've spoken about this time and again, so it's good to go over. Tumas Medras means that something which is functionally used as supporting the weight of a human being is now susceptible to what's called Tumas Medras. As we're going to learn today's daf is going to be one of the main sources that this halach of Tumas Medras only applies to wood. It does not apply to Kli Cheres. Why doesn't it apply to Kli Cheres? That'll be a big part of today's daf. But Tumas Medrash only applies to wood. So if I have any wood item that's made into a chair, like what I'm sitting on right now, although what I'm sitting on right now is not made out of wood, so it's susceptible to Tumas Medrash. And that means that if I have either a Zava, Nida, or Yoledes, any one of those people who are Tameh, sit on the chair, so the chair will become Tameh. What makes Tumas Medrash unique is the following. Number one, there doesn't have to be physical contact. Meaning, even if there are barriers, cushions, clothing, whatever the case is, if there was no physical contact between me and the chair that I'm sitting on, but as long as it's supporting my weight, it will become tummy. Two, is that it becomes tummy to the same degree that I am tummy, meaning I'm an avatoma. If I'm a zava, nida, yoledis, I only can qualify really as one of those four, but Okay, either way. In other words, but if I am an Av HaTumah, the chair that I sit on is also going to be an Av HaTumah. And so that means now that that chair now is being a source of Tumah, can be Metame everything. Can be Metame another person, can be Metame a Kli. Good. Okay, so if I make this wagon into a chair-type wagon, what the Mishnah and Kalim calls a Katidra, so it's going to be Mekabel Tumah, not just Tumah, but Tumah's Medjus. Two, Kemita, if I make this wagon like a bed, okay, so it's like a flatbed. You know, what we hook onto the 18-wheeler. So, Tamea Tamei Meis. It is susceptible to Tumas Meis. Now, as Rashi points out over here, don't take the word Tumas Meis too literally. Tumas Meis just simply means, in this context, it's not Mekabel Tumas Medrus. Because once it's a flatbed, its primary use is not for supporting human weight. It's for supporting other weights. And so, therefore, it's not susceptible to Tumas Medrus. If any source of Tumah, if any Avin Tumah comes into contact with it, it will become Tameh. And Mace over here is just used as an example, but the truth of the matter is that the main point of the Mishnah is that it's not Mekabel Tumas Medrus. If a Zav Zav Anita Yoledis were to sit on this, it wouldn't become Tameh. It wouldn't be an Avin Tumah. Shel Avanim. Now, what if this wagon is made for the transportation of stones? Now, if this wagon is made for transportation of stones, why should I make a difference? So, basically, for the following reason, and you're going to see it nicely over there in your picture book. If the wagon is made for the transportation of stones, that means it's not going to be a flatbed. Basically, the way that this wagon is going to look like is it's going to look like slats, beams of wood placed both horizontally and vertically, but with really gaping holes on the bottom. Now, if anything is placed inside other than big stones, it's just going to go right through. We learned a number of times already that any kli only will be defined as a kli if it holds. Now, the largest size that it has to be able to hold without falling through is a rimon, is a pomegranate. If it can't hold that, so, and in other words, it just slips through, it's not going to be a kli in the world of Tumah Tahara, and it will not be Mekabel Tumah. Our third agala that's being described over here has gaping holes. In other words, it's just slats placed both vertically and horizontally, so they're gaping holes, and so therefore it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. Good. That's our first Mishnah we're learning together in the Mishnah in Kalim. And why... Just give me a moment. And why are we learning the Mishnah in Kalim? So the Gemara says, well, first let's take a look at another Mishnah in Kalim. V'amar Rav Yochanan v'yimesh ba'beis kibo rimonim tamei tamei meis. Okay. And by the way, Rav Yochanan also wants to point out to us that if they're not gaping holes, meaning if that the holes are really close to one another, the boards, I should say, are close to one another, so then it will be Mekabel Tumas Meis. And again, Tumas Meis over here just simply means it will be Mekabel Tumah. Okay, that's our first Mishnah in Kalim. And now the Mishnah is going to teach us a second Mishnah in Kalim, Shalosh Tevos Hain. Now we're up to the Mishnah that describes three different types of chests. So, Teva Shepizcha Mitzida Tamei Medrus. Our first chest is where basically it opens it up from the side. If you want, think of like a bed where instead of having a box spring underneath it, it basically just has simply drawers. Yeah, my kids have something like this. Okay, good. So in other words, so it has drawers on the bottom. So basically now, a person can easily sit on the top of it or lie down on the top of it, and the drawers are, you know, on the bottom. Okay. So, Shepizcha Mitzida Tamei Medrus. So this type of Teva is susceptible to Tumas Medrus because since functionality-wise, it can be used, and it is used, to support the weight of a human being, so therefore it is susceptible to Tumas Medrus. If a Zav Zav Anita Yoletz were to sit on top of it, it will become now an Av HaTumah. Mila Mala, however, if the opening is not from the side, but rather from the top. So in other words, no one's going to sit on it, because its function, I mean you could, but I'm saying, but its function in its use is to open it up from the top and to put things in from the top, so therefore it's a chest, it's a kli, but it's not susceptible to Tumas Medrus. It will only be susceptible to Tumas Meis. And again, Tumas Meis over here just simply means really any type of Tumah. Sheretz, Neveh, any type of Tumah just simply means it's not susceptible to Tumas Medrus. V'haba b'mida tahora. I'm sorry. V'haba b'mida tahora miklom. And finally, the last point of this Mishnah is that if it's haba b'mida, it is a huge chest. In other words, and if I filled it up, there is no way that I can move the chest. So tahora miklom, therefore it's not mekabel tuma, because it's too big, it's too large. And something which cannot be moved when it's full and when it's laden is just simply too big. Now, you put these two Mishnah side by side, which the Gemara actually did for us. Okay, so the Gemara is doing all the heavy lifting. You put these two Mishnah side by side, and what do you see? You see that basically there are three different types of agalos, and there are three different types of chests. Now, when you get to the third of each of these Mishnayos, basically we're talking about where it's really big. Now, when it's that second Mishnah that we just got done learning, it's talking about the Teva, and it says because the chest is really big, and because it's so big it doesn't get transported, so therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma, period. Now, when we get to that, now go back to that first Mishnah, right? Perfect, you see it. Now, you go back to that first Mishnah. That first Mishnah, when describing the wagon, when you get to that third type of wagon, it's transporting stones. Now, how in the world are we going to transport that wagon filled with stones? The answer is, we're going to hook it up to oxen, okay? A lot of horsepower, and basically we're going to transport it through that or through all that horsepower. So, and the Mishnah doesn't say, well, it's not Mekabel Tuma because you don't transport it. You do. But the only way that it's going to get transported is through the oxen. And so what you see from that first Mishnah, especially when you put these two Mishnah side by side, you really see it very clearly, is that because it's transported, and even though it's transported only by oxen, that's still considered transport, and therefore it's going to be Mekabel Tuma. Now we go back to our boat, and our boat basically is the same thing. I load it on the shore, I move it into the water, and the only way we're moving it is through oxen, only through the horsepower, and nevertheless, that's still considered transported, and it's going to be Mekabel Tuma, at least according to Hananya. Good. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, we continue now. Medras Kli Cheres Tahor. Okay, and for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to make basically one point. How we're going to get to that point is going to be a little bit complicated, but really it's going to be one point, and that is that this special tuma called Tumas Medras, which we described earlier this morning, is only when the item is made out of wood. If it's made out of Kli Cheres, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumas Medras. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Medras Kli Cheres Tahor, Rav Yossi Omer Afas Tfina. Now, the Braisa over here, it's a Tosefta, is pretty straightforward until you get to that second opinion. Meaning, Medras Kli Cheres is Tahor, good, pretty self-explanatory, meaning that if I have a Kli which is made from Kli Cheres, and even though its primary function is for people to sit on it or lie down on it, Tahor, it will not become tummy. It will not become tummy because of medras. Meaning, it still could become tummy, but not because of medras. Huh? If it's made for the purpose to sit on. I mean, you don't normally make earthenware for people to sit on. But even if you did, it's simply not going to become a tummy through Tumas Medras. But then the second part of this Tosefta gets a little confusing, because then Rabbi Yossi Omer Afasfina, and Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, the boat too. Even the boat. My inyan, Shmitel Eitzel Har Sinai. What does the boat have anything to do with our discussion over here? So the Gemara now wants to know, my Ka'amar, exactly the Gemara's question. What's going on over here? Amrav Zvid, Hachi Kamer, so the Gemara is going to now offer its first pshat in this Tosefta. Medras Kli Cheres Tahor Mago Tame. Okay, and here we go. The Tanakam is teaching us the following, that if I have something that's meant for sinning, and it's made out of Kli Cheres, it's made out of earthenware, it's Tahor, it's not Mekabel Tuma. However, Mago, if the Zav were to touch it, Tame becomes Tame. Meaning it's a Kli. Right, let's be clear about what it is. It's a Kli, just simply a Kli that's not susceptible to Medras Tuma. But it's a Kli. And if the Zav were to touch it, it's going to become Tameh. By the way, just a specific point over here. It says the Zav touches it. Touches it from the outside? No. Inside. No. Kli Cheres, should write just one of the ABCs of Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres only becomes tummy from the inside. In other words, the Zav has to put his finger inside the Kli Cheres. Rashi makes that point very clear over here. Im Naga Zav Besocha. So in other words, but if the Zav were to touch it, it's going to become tummy. Usfino shalcheres temea kechananya. And this is still now the position of the Tanakama. And now the Tanakama goes on to discuss a boat. Now, when it comes to a boat, and the boat is made out of cheres, it also will become tame, like the position of chananya. Remember, when we first learned our Mishnah, the difference of opinion between chananya and our Mishnah says the boat is always tahor, regardless of what it is made out of. Chananya says that a boat is tahor, but only if it's made out of wood. Once it's made out of kli cheres, it is susceptible to tumah. So says Chananya. Right, earthenware. So Rav Yossi Omer, and now that the Tanakama has discussed boats, so now Rav Yossi Omer, afa sfina tahora, even the sfina is going to be tahora, ketana didan, like our Mishnah. Okay. That is now the first offering of an explanation of what just happened over there in that Tosefta. And by the way, it seems to be like we're a little bit off, off the beaten path, meaning we're talking about boats and why are we talking about klicheres? But now you see, in other words, the Gemara quoted the Tosefta, and the Tosefta mentioned boats, so that's why the Tosefta becomes germane to our discussion over here. Good. That was our first shot of the Braisa. Maskef l'Rav Papa, my af. So Rav Papa says, look, it is a reasonable pshat, but the only thing I don't like is the conjunction. The word that's used to link the Tanakama's position to Rabbi Yossi's position. In other words, this is where all your English education comes into play. I mean, this is why you went and learned English in all of high school, just to get to this point of the Gemara. In other words, the words even is just simply not the correct bridge that connects the Tanakama to Rabbi Yossi. Because what's the Tanakama's main point? The main point of the Tanakama is Mejus Kli Charis Tahor, and then the way that, Rav Zvid is explaining it, is that it's Tahor, but if you touch it, it becomes Tameh, because the Zav is touching it, and the Sfina Shocheres is Tameah. So in other words, the main point that he's making is that the boat is Tameh. And then what's Rav Yossi saying? Even the boat is Tahor? Right. Even the boat. It's just, it's the wrong way of connecting the first point to the second point. El Amar Rav Papa, Hachi Kamas, Rav Papa says no. Okay, so let's do it this way. Our second now interpretation of the Tosefta. Mejus Klicheres Tahor Magutame. Okay. If I have something made out of earthenware, and somebody, Ezav Ezav Anita, you're last word to sit on it, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah, because again, Klicheres is not subject to Tumas Mejus. Umago Tame. But of course, if the Zav touches it, it's going to become Tame because it's a Kli. Vishel 8. Now, if it is made out of wood, Bain Mejuso, Ubain Mago Tame. Now, if it's made out of wood, now that's the material that's susceptible to Tumas Mejus. So now, if the Zav were to sit on it, or if the Zav were to touch it, it's going to become Tame either way. Now when it comes to a boat, it's going to be tahor like our Mishnah. Meaning when it comes to boat, irrespective of what material it's made out of, it's not mekabel tumah, like our Mishnah. Rav Yossi Omer afa sfina tameah kechananya. And Rav Yossi says no, that when it comes to a boat, and the boat is made out of earthenware, it'll be tameh, like the position of Chananya. And now you hear the word even a boat, meaning when it comes to, the position of the Tanakama is that a boat is never tameh. A boat is always tahor. And Rabbi Yossi, now in the Mishnah, saying, or in the Brisa, I should say, saying, no, even the boat, when it's made out of earthenware, is going to be mekabel tumah. Good. That the Gemara seemingly approves of the second pshat of the Tosefta. The word af is explained much better according to the second pshat of the Tosefta. Good. And now to finish up today's daf, basically now the Gemara is going to discuss how do we know this? Meaning, we have now essentially assumed and established. Well, assumed, now we're going to establish, that Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumas Mejus. Why should that be so? So we're going to go about this in, I'll say, about three different ways. Meaning, we have three different drushas that the Gemara now is going to bring to teach us that Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah. Drusha number one. V'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo. If a person were to touch his mishkav over here, who are we describing? We're describing the Zav. And the Torah says that if I touch his mishkav, I will become tamei. Now, how does that work? It's very simple. Because when he sits down on an item that's meant for sitting, the item now becomes an avatama. I'm touching an avatama, I become tamei. Vishasha yigabe mishkavo. Makish mishkavo lo. So there's a hekish between the mishkav and the person who touches it. Mahu isle tahara be mikvah. Af mishkavo nami isle tahara be mikvah. Just like he has tahara in a mikvah, so too mishkavo can have tahara be mikvah. Now, is the Tamas af mishkavo nami isle tahara be mikvah. Good. That's our drasha number one. Now, a couple things. First of all, I'm sure you understand that the Gemara is assuming going into this drasha, kli cheres, you cannot be mitarit in a mikvah. What happens if kli cheres becomes tameh? It's very simple. You break it. You smash it. So says the Torah. So in other words, since the source of that bed can become tameh in a mikvah, that means that the bed itself, the couch itself, has to be able to become tameh in a mikvah. Since kli cheres cannot become tameh in a mikvah, so kli cheres is not subject and susceptible to tumas medras. A technical point over here that we can interject into the Gemara, and that is the following. The Gemara says, Ma hu di isle tahara b'mikvah. Just like he could become tahara b'mikvah. Now, did you know that a zav cannot become tahara in the mikvah? Did you know? It's a technical point. A zav can only become tahara. Sorry. A zav can only become tahara. In other words, he has to wait 7 days. Also, he needs Mayim Chayim. He needs natural spring water. So he has to go and find himself a spring. You cannot become Torah by going into the mikvah. Going into the mikvah only works for Anida. And a Yoledis? I'm not sure about that. Anyway, but Tosfos points out over here that when the Gemara says, Ma hu disle tahara b'mikvah lav davka. You see Tosfos? It's third from the bottom. Lav davka nakav mikvah da hazav by mayim chayim. The zav needs mayim chayim. Ala mishim da bay leminka mikvah gad mi mishkav amoshav le'inyan mayim chayim lo mitzrechina she'itam b'mishkav amoshav kizav da lo b'inan ela da damile porta disle tahara. So Tosfos says that, you see, when by the actual item itself, the bed that becomes tamei, that doesn't need a mayim chayim, that mikvah will work for it. It just simply means the Gemara's basic point is that it is taharable. Yeah, I know, I make words up, but yeah, I hope you understand. Meaning, it has to, you have to be able to be mitarit. So that's the only, that's the common denominator between the person sitting on the couch and the couch. So because kli cheres is not taharable, so therefore it is not susceptible to begin with tumas medras. Okay, that is drasha number one. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana ki mishkav nidasa yiye la. It'll be like mishkav nidasa. Same halacha is applied to a nida as well. When a woman's a nida and she sits down on a couch, the couch is susceptible to tumas medras, which again means that even if there was no physical contact between the nida and the couch, and it also means that the couch itself is going to be an avatuma. Mekish mishkava la, mahi isle tahara b'mikva. And here you could see it literally, just like she has a tahara b'mikva, af mishkava nami isle tahara b'mikva la fuki kucheres delisle tahara b'mikva. Okay, a second drasha that arrives to the same conclusion. Masiv Rav Eli. So far now we've been given two drushas in the Gemara in terms of how we know that a kli cheres is not going to be mekabel tumas medras. The Gemara challenges all this. Meisiv Ravilai mapatz b'meis minayin. The Gemara's question over here is as follows. Now mapatz is anything made out of reeds. Okay, a basket, a mat. Let's talk about a mat. Okay, let's keep it nice and simple. And the mat is constructed by reeds. B'meis minayin, the Gemara wants to know as follows. Look, wood. What do we know? Rule number one when it comes to any material made out of wood, in order for it to be mekabel tumah, it needs a toch. It needs to have an inside. In other words, if it's pshute kli eitz, if it's simple kli eitz, simple in this context means that it's flat. It's flatware. It doesn't have any toch. So like a knife made out of wood, which doesn't sound like a very good knife. Or a plate made out of wood, or a mat that's made out of wood, so it's not mekabel tumah. It has to have a toch. Kshute kli mateches, flatware metal, is mekabel tuma. But we're not talking about metal right now. We're speaking specifically about wood. So wood, as we know, the starting point for the discussion is wood's not mekabel tuma if it's flat. What about a mat made out of reeds? So the Braisa tells us the following. Mapats bemeis minayin. How do I know that if I have a mat made out of reeds, that it is susceptible to tumma? And despite the fact that it's pshute kli eitz, and normally we say by pshute kli eitz, it's not mekabel tumma, but if something is made out, if you have a mat, it will be mekabel tumma. How do I know that?
The reed has a toch, the reed.
Because it could support the weight.
What do you think about bamboo?
Bamboo.
Yeah, but it's talking... It's totally flat. Not that I fully understand what I'm saying, but it's totally flat. There's no toch. Okay, so the Gemara says, Vidinu. The Gemara says, look, we can express this through a kal v'chomer. We're going to construct a logical argument to arrive at this conclusion. Because let's look at it this way. Pachin ketanim, right? Not that long ago in the Parsha, we talked about pachin ketanim. That's what Yaakov went back for, to get his pachin ketanim. So, when it comes to pachin ketanim, small earthenware jugs, it is tahor and bizav, it's not susceptible to zav, it is not susceptible to the sitting of a zav. Rashi goes on to explain. Take a look at the top Rashi on this amud. We're on pei dal amud bay. Shachar shatar mizav sheina tamei ma'idei mishum tuma. De la midras lo chazi de nasun li yeshiva. Number one, says Rashi, is that it's a small jug. It's not meant for sitting. In fact, probably if you sit on it, you're going to break it. So in other words, strike tumas medras out of the discussion. In addition to that also. Even if theoretically a zav could sit on it, it's made out of kli cheres. Uva magalo l'tamu de'ein mit'amos ela me'aviran ve'ein yochol la'achnisan etzba'o l'tochem emnei shepiyim tzar. And Rashi says, how about they become tummy from the inside? Rashi says, strike that from the record. Because they're pachin ketanim, they're really small jugs, and you basically can't even get a finger into them. They're like little vials, if you will. Uveheset lo. And Rashi goes on to say, well, what about Heset? We just spoke about Heset, what was it, yesterday? I believe so. What about Heset? Meaning, how about carrying them or lifting them or raising them? So Rashi says, no, because Heset is really just a subcategory of Negia. And if it's not susceptible to Tumas Negia, it's also not going to be susceptible to Tumas Heset as well. So in other words, Pachin Ketanim, as we just went through the Rashi, is not susceptible to any form of tumah. It just can't be. Not zav, not medras, not negia, not heset. So pachin ketan shetarim bezav tameim bemeis. And meanwhile, even though a zav cannot be metameit, but it's a kli, and if it's in the same room with the mace, it will become tumah. It will become tame. Mapas shetame bezav ain't odin shi tame bemeis. And now we construct the argument. And the argument is that if I have a mat made out of reeds, right? I was in my mind.
Reed mat.
Yeah. I took mat and reed and I put it together. So if I have a mat made out of reeds, so, right, you know, in those car seats, I know they used to be super popular, right? Right, you lay down the mat right on top of the car seat, and it's supposed to help. Circulation, ichveznish. So the whatever. I remember everyone had one. So if you have a mat, so it's susceptible to tumas medras, meaning if I construct it for the purpose of sitting, and I have a zav anita, you let it sit on it, it will become tameh. So if it's susceptible to medras tuma, it for sure should be susceptible to mace tuma as well. Okay. And there we have now a classic kal v'chomer. So, pachin ketanim, which is not susceptible to tumas medras, is susceptible to mace. Reeds, mapas, which is susceptible to medras, should also be susceptible to mace. So the Gemara says, okay, but why should that work? It's not. It does not have tahar b'mikvah. And so, didn't we say that the criteria of something being susceptible to tumas medras, it has to be tahara bull. You have to be able to be mitarit. And our read of mats, you can't be mitarit. So the Gemara now wants to know, if that's true, we have now basically, we've lost our original criteria. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, Shani Hasam, Hol V'Ika B'mino. So he says, okay, look, you're right. It happens to be that the mat itself cannot be mitar in a mikvah. But at least B'mino, it comes from a material that you can be mitar in a mikvah. Meaning mat's basically a form of wood. And wood, you could be mitar in a mikvah. And when we talk about kli cheres, as a material, categorically, you cannot be mitar in a mikvah. Okay, so in other words, you're right. In the specific example of mappets, you can't be mitar in a mikvah. But since it comes from a material that categorically can, so therefore we're fine. I'm Arlay, and here we have one of my favorite exchanges in the Gemara. Rachmana litzla mehai daita. God should save you from such thinking. So Adaraba, Rachmana litzla mehai daita didach. No, just the opposite. God should save you from your thinking. Utaima mai, and why should that be? Trey Kreitzi. Because look, let's put together, let's put side by side two psukim. The one pasuk says, Visha sheyigab mimishkav, a person touches the mishkav of a zav. V'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav Allah uksiv, and another pasuk says, V'chol mishkav asher yishkav alav, ha-zav yitma. Ha-ketzad, the Gemara says, and look, ha-bimino, I'm sorry, yesh bimino afagav delesei tahara b'mikvah, ein bimino mekish mishkav olo. Look, if it's a material that is categorically it can go into the mikvah, so we compare it to him. Just like he can be mitar through a mikvah, so too, the couch that's made out of a material, where even though in this particular case you can't be mitar in a mikvah, but it's made of a material that you can be mitar in the mikvah, i.e. wood, so therefore it's going to be susceptible to tumas medras. If, however, it's made of a material that's not taharable, that you can't be mitar in a mikvah, like kli cheres, it's not going to be subject to tumas medras. Okay. So once again now, we are basically wrapping up today's daf. We now start off with a very basic question of kli cheres is not susceptible to tumas medras. It's certainly susceptible to tumas mace, or for that matter, any other form of tuma, contact of from an ava tuma, but it's not susceptible to tumas medras. Why should that be? So far on the books, we have two explanations. Our first explanation of today goes back to I'm going to give credit. Amar Chizkia, right, on Pei Dal Amud Aleph. Then we have Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. And now we wrap up today's daf with the third explanation of how we know that Kli Cheres is not susceptible to Tumas Medras. Rav Amar Medras Kli Cheres Tahor Mehacha V'chol Kli Pasur Chasher Ein Samid Pasil Alav Hayesh Samid Pasil Alav Tahor. The pasuk says that we have any kli which is open. This pasuk in Parshas Chukas is describing earthenware containers, and it says that if I have kli pasuach, if I have a kli which is open, asher ein samid pasil alav, and it does not have a tight seal around it, it's not airtight sealed, so therefore it's going to become tame. But if it's sealed tahor, it's going to be tahor. Now that's all the pasuk says. How do we know from this pasuk that it's not susceptible to tumas medras? So mi lo askinan, the Gemara says, look, the Torah doesn't tell us why you have the kli cheres, it just simply says you have a kli cheres. You could make the following argument. Diachdino liishto nida, meaning that he set it aside for his wife who is an ida. Vikama rechmana tahor. And as long as it's hermetically sealed, so that now, and your wife who is an ida sitting on it, it's not going to become tameh, even though it was made, let's even say that it was made specifically for the purpose of the nida to sit on it, it's still not going to become tame. Now, again, the Torah doesn't say all this, but it's a fair argument. It's reasonable to suggest that was the purpose of this kli cheres, and yet the Torah describes it as being tahor. A third possible proof or source that kli cheres is not susceptible to tumas medras. Okay, quickly to wrap up today's daf, we have the Mishnah that says that a boat is not mekabel tuma. Why should that be? So one of two explanations that are given, either because it's compared to a yam, or because of Chananya, who says that it's not carried while it is empty or while it is full. And then the Gemara goes on to explain There's a nafkamina. There are actually going to be two nafkaminas between these two reasons. Number one, the material that it's made out, the boat is made out of. Number two is if the boat is meant to be used going down the Jordan River, where it's loaded on the shore and it's brought and it's carried in into the Jordan River. That brought us to a discussion in the Gemara. Does that mean that something which is transported only through horsepower or oxen power, is that considered movable? And the Gemara's answer is yes, and we learned that by putting two Mishnayos together in Kalim. And then the rest of today's daf was, how do we know that Kli Cheres is not susceptible to Tumas Medrash? And the Gemara gave us three possible drushas in terms of how we arrived at that conclusion. Okay? Ad Kan, that's today's daf. Tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah. Tomorrow, Kalayim. Okay, we get to spend a day in the life of Daf Yomi learning Masechta Kalayim.